This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris. I'm going to be your host today, and I've got with us here in our studio, Bend, Oregon, start on this side, Bobby Hobby.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I am excited to be here, and we have some special friends for everyone to meet and yes. to listen to. It's going to be amazing.
But we can't talk about them because we have to introduce Becky.
Yeah, me. Hi.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
We've got Becky Hobby as well. Becky, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Good, good. Now, Bobby already let the cat out of the bag.
We've got
because online with us right now is Don and Christine Potter. Yes. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us. How are you guys doing over there on the East Coast?
We're doing as weird and twisted as we usually are.
Yes, fantastic. I love that. I love that. And Don, weird and twisted brings a perfect segue to the topic today. So I'm gonna do something very strange. Okay, I'm gonna do something very strange, but I'm not gonna let you guys in on what it's about. So I'm gonna start off. We're gonna talk about HD.
Yes.
Not high def.
Not correct. High def.
We've got two words.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, yes. but all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about that, because now everyone is like, what in the world is going on here? We're
going to
talk about something else, which yes. I just lost the word. What's the word?
Don's latest album.
Yes.
It's called Sinago.
Sinago, that's right. Sinago. So before we talk about HD, can you let us know about Sinago, Don?
Okay. Sinago is S-Y-N-A-G-O. It's a Greek word for gathering or coming together is basically what this is. And I like to call it remembering something because a lot of stuff falls apart. Then it comes back to be remembered. In that way, it's basically a jazz record, but it's an expression. It's instrumental. You have to like having, you know, weird songs. And so if you don't like that, might not like this, but it's three friends. The three of us are our friends, Bruce Daly and Wes Foy, and we've all played together for many, many years, and we love to play together. And one of the greatest things about playing with them is the ability I can go anywhere I want to, emotionally or spiritually, while I'm playing, and they can follow it without any problems at all. And it's taken a lot of years to develop. That's one of the internal secrets, I think, mm-hmm. God's trying to release into the body, that we're so accustomed to what the Holy Spirit and how Jesus functions that we immediately, no matter what kind of an interesting thing he may start with, we can go with it right away. We can just instantly follow. And that's one of the things I noticed with Bruce Daly, who is absolutely wonderful musician, but what can happen is I can hear something from the Lord and go into a musical exchange that's really unusual, and he's right there. His ears are great. He's well-trained. He understands how to follow it, and he's listening to the same spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is the key, I think, for a lot of the stuff of the future. At any rate, Sinago has to do with that gathering and that bringing together components, I guess I would call it that. Interestingly, it's kind of gives you the feeling of, you know, Sinago is like synagogue, we would think in those terms, which is how we gather for church, except for this one little issue is the synagogues were started because Israel was in exile. And so they started because they couldn't go up to Israel any longer and go to the temple. So they gathered in home churches or small churches to remind themselves that they're Jews. They have a living God. We're supposed to worship him. And we're supposed to always share in scripture the promises God has made to save the people. So when the Christian church started, it started meeting once a week because it was in exile as well, basically. And so they would, you know, they would meet in small churches, small home groups. We somehow keep on going, and we're still meeting once a week, basically proving that we still feel we are in exile. And the truth is, God has worked very hard to set us free through the Son, through His Son and the blood of the Son. And so we are going to need to start walking in the power of, I would call it resurrection life. And that life is freedom. Thus, when I made the record, it's unlike any other record that I've made, because it's something I felt like doing. Isn't that interesting? I have the stuff and the equipment to do it, so we just did it. And it could really please a lot of people. I don't know, but we didn't make it to please a lot of people. If we as a body of believers could finally come to this one thing, I don't need a microphone. I don't need to be on the stage to please everybody. I need to please my Father, my Lord, my Master. And I know God liked it when we were making it. So He had a great time and I had a great time. We all enjoyed ourselves, and we just didn't make it for everybody to think it's wonderful. But we think it's wonderful, and we hope that others would like it as well under those conditions. That is precisely, and if you can hear me, that is what a hit record is made out of. You go into a studio and you make the record you like and hope that others do too. That's the simplest version of what a hit record is. It isn't a formulated plan.
What a prophetic picture of where God has His bride at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the way that you wrote the album, the motive behind it. I mean, we're all coming out of man-pleasing and all of those things that limit the way that we've operated, the freedom that God had for us from the beginning. Christine, talk to us about HD. We're all wanting, we're all sitting on the edge of our seats.
Yes, we are.
We need to know.
I am Humpty.
Well, I love the Lord. I love the Holy Spirit because He's so funny. And he uses all sorts of songs and little titles and weird little nursery rhymes to make a point and to talk to me, because he likes just to be. He's very personable, strangely enough. And so he started talking to me about Humpty Dumpty a few years back. And he said, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I realized he was telling me that symbolically, Humpty Dumpty was a symbol for Adam, and that when Adam fell, it was such a huge fall beyond any of our human, really of, beyond our human comprehension. He didn't just make a little mistake. He fell in such a way as there was no fixing it. So none of the king's men and none of the power of the flesh could do a restoration and a reconciliation and remember. Like I'm saying, he couldn't. Humpty Dumpty could not be remembered again. He had to be totally a whole new birth. It's funny about eggs, you know, being the symbols of new life. And so out of the death and devastation, only Jesus could bring. He didn't put the original parts back together again, so to speak, which is what a lot of times we try to do when we try to do our own renewing of our minds, because we still want to do things according to our own understanding. But he had to do a resurrection life out of the devastation of the fall. And so the Lord said one of the things that's really so difficult to understand and for our humanity to believe was just how far the fall was, and that there is absolutely nothing we can do to fix our fallen nature and to fix the Adam in each one of us.
Wow. So it also, you know, I think of the Imagineers, like in Disney, and like, you know, what it looked like to imagine how we could put ourselves together and do it without Christ, you know, and create amazing creative ways to do this. But really, God is desiring for us to imagine with Him how he assembles the pieces together. And it doesn't, I see it first as the structure of who we are in our lives, but then it goes into the gathering and assembling, picking up the pieces of what coming together, called and assembled together to hear from him even looks like. So that's changing. And it's not going to happen by any type of us imagining outside of him what that could be, because that's that linear thinking that I think we're so used to doing. And then and really, this is the opportunity and time where God is calling us into a union and communion with him as he gathers and assembles the pieces together to imagine with him. Come imagine with me what this life could look like now and the life to come. So I'm just, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm picking up from you guys. But it takes this place of no longer striving to imagine on our own. Wow. He is the Imagineer, right?
That's the Imagineer. Great. I like that. The Imagineer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. What if we could use our courage, you know, the Lord saying, just be strong, be courageous, Joshua, or in Haggai chapter 2, take courage. He tells the body of Christ, for I'm about to pour out a latter glory that's never been seen before. What if the courage that he's calling us into, or the greatest courage, is to actually use that courage to trust the Lord, to climb into an ark with no rudder?
Boy.
You know, and I'm thinking as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the Lord stirring within us the faith and the trust and the hope to have the courage to enter our own Gethsemane's. Because I was seeing, you know, as Jesus had his Gethsemane on the way to the cross for the crucifixion that would had to happen before the resurrection, I'm feeling like what the Lord's asking us to do is have the courage to actually do the process of facing the death of everything that we thought was true culturally and everything, because I think we, you know, Don and I laugh, we were singing I Surrender All somewhere, and the Lord said, oh yeah, but it's really, let's reframe that, because the truth is, some people should sing I Surrender a Little Bit, I Surrender Maybe, I Surrender Some. He said, so, you know, they're actually don't, maybe we should give them some alternate lyrics so they're not sinning against themselves.
We have the songbook for the completely committed and the songbook for the I don't think so.
Tell them if you don't really mean it, don't say it, or cover your mouth and say that God doesn't really hear you.
Okay, that's it. We're going to have our songwriters write new versions. I surrender 10%.
I surrender some.
Yeah. Okay,
but
so
back to courage. Yes. Back to courage, though. Just one minute. Back to courage, because I think what we've done is I'm rewriting the whole thing about being a Christian. I'm going to my whole own version, and I am not proselytizing at all, because my version is going to be really, really costly. I feel like we've been told it's this instant quick, and it doesn't hurt anything. It's this wonderful, you're not going to go to hell. That's so amazing. You're not going to go to hell, and you're going to go to heaven. Yay! Wait a minute. How about everything it's going to cost you to be now a dead man to everything that you considered was your life? Honestly, and in that, I feel like we haven't been brought into counting the cost and actually going through. I think the Lord wants us to be honest and face off with the things that we are having to. He is wanting to us to come to an agreement and a willingness to allow him to bring it to death, so that I can get that fullness of inheritance. I've only gotten a percentage of all that is mine, because I don't believe that we've actually allowed the depth of the Gethsemane work of facing the fullness of the cross.
Wow. in your book, Don, on it's a great exposition on the book of John. There's this point where Peter wants to just flex his muscles and talk about how much he's ready and willing to serve Jesus. And you expound at that what he's really saying is, when conditions are favorable, I will serve you. Can you expound on that just a bit?
Yes, and everything is going just right. And there, most of whatever is going to happen with us in our lives will be catching us by surprise. Mm-hmm. I can sit home and practice a song and practice it and practice it and practice it. And now I can really play this amazing when I get live. But I sit down and when I'm going to play live, and God doesn't call that song. He calls something way far off. And so to be ready all the time for that was kind of what was in the back of my head. I know that Peter, he really wanted to be a strong man for God. And I so can relate to that. And I really wanted to be great. But I'm always caught with some kind of a thing. My best examples of it is I've had lots of preparation at times to wanted to minister strongly in the spirit. And I get all my gear and I set it up and I get it, make sure everything is just right. It's all fixed. Everything is just right. And it's working. And it's time to minister and sit down and nothing is there. It's not working. And the second I start it's not there. I can't hear God. Now I can't function because everything I thought I had together is not there any longer. In the case of how quickly can I recover right back to God's presence, right back to Him? And so, well, maybe today it's I'm going to be whistling for you today and not playing the guitar. So in the case of Peter, to not get too far away, mm-hmm. but what he was really after in his heart was to prove how strong he was. Jesus renamed him Peter, his name obviously being Simon. And that means hard head. It doesn't mean the rock of salvation. It means he's a hard head. So Jesus just named him for what he was like. You're a hard-headed person. But you want all the circumstances to go your way. You want it to fit what you need. And that's not the gospel that's going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that Peter made massive changes after the cross. You can hear it in his, you know, how, what he wrote, what he had to write. But there was old John who decided to go ahead and expose Peter right there on the spot. So at any rate, I don't know if I'm answering your question mm-hmm. like you're asking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. And so good. And I'm really just picking up on, we're in a season, we're in a time where everything we thought were rules of engagement, were rules of the way that we do things, are God's dismantling that.
Yeah.
And there is a new way of reimagining with Him what things are to look like. And that's across the board. It's not just with how we come together and how we worship Him, although that is to the core of who we are, but he's using the day-to-day things that we do, like you up there playing, and everything should be set up. It's all the way that the rules of engagement of setting up your equipment should be so that you can produce the sound that you're hearing, and yet something's not working any longer. And God is dismantling those structures that we thought this is the way it needs to be done, to reimagine with Him. Now there's a new way it could be done. Have we thought about this? How have we considered that? And now, even in how we come together, what that looks like, not living in a place of exile or in a place of having a lower than relationship with Him that He desires for us to have.
Boy.
So come up here. Think on my thought wave. And it's not going to be this linear way where it really has it much logic that we understand. So even logic is changing. And what logic now is all based and under his understanding, his way of doing things, his really the tree of life. It's under the tree of life. And so I'm thinking about, you know, that that's trickling into our personal relationship. It's trickling into how we behave together as believers, and how we relate and have relationship together as well. And so can you guys speak a little bit to, you know, in this season, it's all things are being reimagined by God. What now have you been hearing, or has the Lord been showing you that would really help to give us just a little snapshot into what we're about to go into?
Mm-hmm. Lots of different things. You know, it's, you have something you were going to.
We have lots of things are being reimagined as we speak. We're always, most of us are always referring to the church and what's happening in the church and how the church is whatever. We don't often think about him, God reimagining your life as your everyday life is going. Your everyday non-church life, that's being reimagined as well. And it's also coming to another, we're moving into another stage where what we've been offering, I use that word offering, offering actually means to draw near to God, believe it or not. Sacrifice and offering mean the same thing. It doesn't mean to get an animal and cut it up and burn it. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that only. It means to draw near. It's the attempt to draw near. So we're friends. We love you guys. And you live 2,000 some odd miles away from us. There's going to have to be a sacrifice or an offering made between us in order to have an ongoing relationship. So in the sacrifice, we all find ourselves saying, I'm really drawn more and more to this relationship because the willingness to make sacrifices for it to continue. That's what God is looking at now. And he is calling those, he's calling, he's making a bigger thing than a call, believe me. The words come up here are ringing across the planet right now. And he is saying, I'm changing everything. Come up here and I will change you so you can be, you can finish your work. Now, this is all going to sound strange, and please forgive if it's too quick and too strangey, but Jesus, I mean, is up on the hill with, you know, he's got some couple of disciples with him, and he's in the on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, of course, Peter is, whoa, and everybody's there, you know, they're freaking out over seeing this transfigured Christ, and he is, as he's transfigured in front of them, they're trying to figure out ways to, oh, we'll build a couple of tables, build some, you know, it's for all these, this is also special. And what happened is that, and God said, you know, listen, just stop. He's telling them, listen to what's happening. So as I'm hearing that, I'm saying, why did Jesus have to be transfigured? And the Lord said, to finish well. Isn't that interesting? So in our lives, we've walked with Jesus however long in our lives. We are having to come through, if you will, some form of a transfiguration. And however that's going to come to pass, that comes to pass through our imagination. So we can finish well. The body of Christ is intended to finish well, even though there's going to be struggle. That doesn't, nobody said there wasn't. And even though there is death, it's not like there's going to be, there is death as we speak. But almost all of that is concerning the body of Christ. It's done through mercy. It's because of things. People are being taken to the heavens because God is using more intercession from the heavens than he has in the past. And those are, they're just repositioning, being repositioned in the heavens so that they can pray for you, pray for me, so that we can be strong enough to make it through this end. But we will be going through this come up here transfiguration so we can finish this thing well. I'm hoping I'm answering your question and not drifting off too far from what you said.
Absolutely, Don. That's amazing. I love that. You know, the Bible says that one of the most quoted sayings of Jesus when he first came on the scene, if you will, was, "You've heard it said,
yes,
but now I say to you."
Yes. Yeah.
And he's bringing about this change. And by saying that, he's not saying what you used to do was bad. And in order to make change, we've got to condemn what used to happen and call it bad, because you can't bring change unless something was wrong.
Right.
Something could be very right, and still God wants to bring the new. That's just who he is. For a billion years from now, we will be discovering who he is and discovering the new of who he is. So, Becky, as we sort of end this podcast and think about Imagine and think about what Don just said and us assembling together, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we're going to assemble together, people, and we are calling it Imagine because of everything you've just heard. We want to come together both online and in person here in Bend, Oregon, and we want to have a time where Don and Christine Potter are here with us, and we're going after this. We're assembling the pieces together, and we're saying, God, we are ready for you to be our Imagineer. We want to come into this place where we have an opportunity, if you so desire and how you so desire to transfigure us, we're here, we're ready, and we are open for whatever that might look like. So we want you to join us. We want you to be either online with us, because it's going to be a great event. A great event. It's not a great event. It's a great happening.
It's a happening.
It's a happening. Together. We're going to happen together. And we're going to see what God's going to do, because things are shifting. The way we have done things in the past aren't going to work, because God is reimagining, and he's bringing, it's really a reimagining for us. It's always been what he's imagined. So we're coming into his imagined state of being. Wow. And so join us, whether it could be May 28th and 29th, that's coming up fast. Chris, tell us all the details of what we need.
For sure. Yeah. So I just want to echo like what you're saying, and you know, Don and Christine, just what they bring is so weighty, and it's for now, and it's so powerful. So it's going to be an amazing experience. I just want to reiterate to you guys, you may not know if you've not attended one of our digital conferences, we do have a limited number of in-person tickets. So if you can get to Bend, Oregon and want to participate in person, I would suggest you do that. But the online experience is not just a camera in the back of the room just so that you can kind of wish you were here. It is going to be a purposefully designed experience for the online component as well. So it's going to be amazing. So you need to register for that. How you do that is, there should be a link in either the show notes. If you're listening to this, you should have a link right there, or in the description. If you're watching this video on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you're watching it, there should be a link there. That link is kingdomlearning.life. So if you don't see a link and you just want to type it in the webpage, go to kingdomlearning.life, .life, not .com, .life. And then right there on the homepage is the banner for the event Imagine. If you're watching this 10 years from now, and this has already happened, trust me, Imagine 2021 was amazing. You can actually still go get it. So just go to Kingdom Learning, and then you'll be able to find the replay there. I'm sure it was worth it. So do that too, even if you're watching this later. You guys, thank you so much for spending some time. Oh, Mary is helping us produce, and she's waving me down, and she's saying, "Hey, if you want to participate as a small group or a church, we have options for that as well." So click on the contact button on the Kingdom Learning website, and we can hook you up with the ability for your entire church to also connect digitally as a cohort for the event. So thank you for reminding me for that. If you guys would think about who you could share this podcast to, who needs to hear this information, go ahead and take a few minutes and do that. Send this out. Share this information out there so others can do. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, definitely take a moment and subscribe. We have amazing content like this on this podcast. You don't want to miss a single episode. And if you have not registered for Imagine, you definitely need to do that. So go ahead and do that now. Don and Christine, thank you so much again for pouring into the community that listens to this, the audience that this is brought to, which is all around the world. So thank you for pouring into them and certainly for pouring into us. We really, really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. And for the rest of you that are watching, we will see you guys on the next one. Thank you so much.